Amen. Thank you so much. How blessed we are to have Mark Culpepper with us. If you have your Bible, turn with me to 2 Samuel, 2 Samuel, now the 19th chapter. We'll be dealing with the entire chapter. Just going to read a few verses to get us started. Chapter 19 of 2 Samuel, beginning in the beginning. And Joab was told, "Behold, the king is weeping and mourning for Absalom." So the victory that day was turned into mourning for all the people. For the people heard it was said that day, "The king is grieved for his son." And the people stole back into the city that day as people who were ashamed to steal away when they flee in battle. But the king covered his face, and the king cried out with a loud voice, "Oh, my son Absalom! Oh, Absalom, my son, my son." And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, I ask that you would reach into each heart today. I pray, Father, that you would teach us how, Father, to move through times of mourning. Father, I pray for those that are in periods of grief, that you would lift them this day. And Father, I pray that you would encourage us by the truth that Jesus brings. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. David learned to trust in the Lord as a very young boy. As he grew up, he still trusted God. You know, we know that he killed lions and giants and bears. And we know that he did so calling on the Lord. It wasn't just that he killed those unkillable things, it's that he trusted God. That same trust in God was what allowed him to rise to be king of all of Israel. But as we begin the chapter 19, we don't find that tower of strength. What we find is David humbled and broken, weeping and sad. David still believed in God, but at this point, his grief is taking over. You see, he's not upset at this moment because his son took action against him. He's upset at this moment because his son is dead. As a king, David and Israel had a great victory. But as a father, David was totally defeated. Listen, you can have great victories in sports. You can achieve great things in your career. You can rise to great heights in popularity. But if you lose your family, it will cause a wounding in you that is indescribable. David has had such a wounding. Now I want you to know that how you act affects how others act. You do know that, don't you? That sometimes your actions can have an effect on others. That's why we encourage everybody to be in Sunday school, because if you're there, you encourage others in Sunday school. If you're not there, your very absence discourages people. And so your actions affect others. Have you ever noticed, guys, if your wife's not happy, the whole house seems to be in a period of doom? And kids, if your dad's not happy, you know, just to cut him a wide path, stay out of his way. Well, in Israel, there's a great victory. Absalom has been defeated. Now, Absalom had been very crafty. He had actually stolen his father's kingdom. He had gotten people one by one to look to him as a leader, as a greater leader than his dad. And then he went down to Hebron, away from his dad, lied to his dad about where he was going, why he was going there, went down to Hebron, and he proclaimed himself king. You know, it didn't occur to the people that were cheering him as king that we already have a king. They didn't think about all that David had done and all David had brought them through. Oh no, they circled around Absalom. Absalom made a war and actually set his army to go against his father's army. Normally, when such an onslaught on a kingdom would be overthrown, it would be a time of rejoicing. Well, that onslaught was overthrown. Absalom, riding toward battle, got caught up in the trees and was killed. The coup was crushed. But instead of cheering in the city, there was sadness because the king was in a bad mood. In verse 2, "And the victory that day was turned into mourning unto all the people, for the people heard say that day that the king was grieved for his son." You know, look at how real the Bible is. This is David. This is the great David, the believing David, the conqueror David. And he is broken and he is weeping and he is grieving. Verse 3 says the people stole back into the city. That means they came back in around him on tiptoes. Well, maybe you've had some people in your household that you've had to come around on tiptoes. And you know what that's like. Listen. There is absolutely nothing wrong with David grieving his son. If you lose someone you love, grief is a normal process. It's okay. The Bible says, though, that believers should not grieve as those that have no hope. Some have took that to say that if you believe in the Lord, you just won't grieve. That's not what the Bible says. The grief that a believer has is said to be different. We don't grieve like people that don't have faith. We don't grieve like people that don't have trust. We don't grieve like people that don't have a hope that we will see our loved ones again because they died in faith. Sometimes I hear people tell those that have lost loved ones, "Don't cry." Now, you've heard me say this before. I think that is bad advice. I have talked to people around the death of their loved ones, and some have said, "I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm not crying." I've talked to others that have said, "I don't know what's wrong with me. I can't stop crying." If you lose someone who is dear to you, if they pass from this life, it's not like they're going to some foreign land like California. It's not like you can text them or call them. No, you're separated from them. And in that separation, there is a pull on your heart, and it is very real. And so what I tell you is, there is nothing wrong with true emotion. Now, I've been around some funerals where the emotion was put on. And fake emotion is never right. But true emotion is okay. We're to show concern for people. We're to show concern for those that are hurting. In fact, the Bible tells us to weep with those that weep, to laugh with those that laugh, to care about what others are going through. And let me tell you, this is one of the great reasons I love Northside Baptist Church. You are great at caring for one another, and I hope that you will continue to do that. When there is a hurt for one of us, there is a hurt for all of us. When there is a loss that we understand. And so sometimes we rally around one another, and sometimes we cry with one another, and sometimes we laugh with one another. And we are pulled to get on our knees and pray for one another. That's really what a church is supposed to do. But while you may mourn for a time, I need to tell you, There is a time to start living with the living. There is a time when you just gotta stop the death process in your own life, and you've got to understand that you are still here, and you are still here for a purpose. Live with the living. In verse 5, and Joab came into the house of the king and said, "You have shamed all this day, all the faces of your servants, which this day have saved your life and the lives of your sons and daughters and the lives of your wives and the lives of your concubines, in that you love your enemies and you hate your friends." David is lost in emotions. He's lost in mourning. Absalom was dead. And Joab comes up to the king and he verbally slaps him. Listen, there is a time to mourn with those that mourn. And we need to do that, and we need to care for others. But there also is a time when we have to challenge people to the fact that they're living and they need to still live. Every life is for a purpose. You know when your purpose is up? When you're not living anymore. Until then, you have a purpose. And you may lose your mate. You may lose your parent. You may lose a child. And yes, it is terrible. But you're still here. And if God left you still here, then he left you still here for a purpose. You have a reason to be here. You have lives to touch. You have a Lord to praise and to lift up. And you need to live with the living. Perhaps Joab had been around when Nathan had to come and verbally slap the king. It's not something you did casually. It's a very dangerous thing to do. Nathan found the king was out of God's will. Now, the king in that day was to be the leader for people, not only politically, but to be the leader spiritually. And when the king was out of God's will, the whole nation was being led away from God's will. One of the great problems in the United States of America is we have leaders that are not looking to the Lord, and they are outside of God's will, and being outside of God's will, they can't lead the nation in God's will. Listen, we need to pray as elections come. By the way, there's an election Tuesday. We need to pray for those that run for office. We need to pray for believers to run for office, and then we need to stand by them, and we need to encourage them. Nathan stood against the king, and the king woke up and turned back to the Lord. What a great thing that was. Now here is Joab. There's the king, and the king is just in a pile of tears, and the nation is falling apart, and so he goes up to the king. Sometimes a quiet word is needed, and you weep with the weeping. But there comes a time that you just got to challenge others to get up and live. You do not benefit your life, and you don't benefit the memory of your loved one who is deceased by emotionally crawling up in the casket with them and closing the lid. There are times you're going to hurt. There are times you're going to cry. Grief is really sneaky. You go through this grief process and you've hurt and you've cried and then you feel like you're coming out of it and things are going pretty good and you think, well, I've got this grief thing licked. And then you turn a corner and you see something that puts you right back in the middle of the grief. If that's happened to you, When that moment of, in fact, it will happen to you even years after the person has passed. When that happens to you, let me encourage you to do this. You go to God in prayer and you thank God that you had somebody in your life that you loved this much. You thank God for the privilege of being able to love someone, the privilege of having someone that you cared for and in many cases who cared for you. Thank God for that. Not everybody has that. And then you ask God for the strength to live a life that glorifies Him and honors them. You see, when we have people that die, we have a brief moment that we kind of understand it hurts. And when you understand how much it hurts to lose someone you care about, maybe at that point you can think about how much it hurt our Father in heaven to send His Son to a cross to die for you and for me. David got the message. While he was going through a normal process, it was important for him to do something for others. He moves to the gate and reaches out to other people that are hurting. I don't know how you're hurting today, but I guarantee you there are other people that are hurting. And sometimes the way to help yourself in a point of grief is to help somebody else. When you start reaching out to others, when you start showing love to others, you lift up your own life. And God's made us that way. David's army had to fight against Absalom's army. And so very literally, you had brother against brother, father against son, neighbor against neighbor, and with everyone that died, there was a tragedy on both sides. And so the people came back from war crying, broken in their loss. But let me tell you, when they came back through the gates, broken in their loss, how it lifted them up to see the king there, encouraging them, thanking them, putting love on them. See, they knew that David had lost someone dear to him, and yet he was there caring for others. And the love of God poured through him to his nation to help heal a nation. You know, in a church family, we have to care for one another. We laugh together, we work together, and when there is loss, we weep together, we get on our knees together, we pray together, and we get up and we move forward for God together. Live with the living. Then look to the Lord. In verse 11, and the king David sent to Zadok and to Abiathar the priest, saying, speak unto the elders of Judah, saying, why have you not cried out to bring the king back to his house? David turned to the priest. He turned to God. All the people of Israel understood they were in a mess. David had defeated the Philistines. He had delivered them from their enemies. He had them follow him, those that would, when he left Jerusalem, and the nation was divided. Absalom had pulled people away from the king's service, and they had fought against each other. They're a nation that doesn't see leadership. Listen, this is a point that we are in here in America. We're a nation that is divided. We're a nation that does not see clear leadership. Yet in verse 10 it says, they spoke not a word of bringing the king back. They were in a mess. They didn't have the leadership. They didn't know who to look to, but they didn't pray for the right king to get back on the throne. You know, let's take a moment and consider the state of the church today. Churches are turning away from God. Churches are falling. Churches are closing down. You know, in Europe, it's not uncommon to go by beautiful churches that are empty or have been turned into something else, like a restaurant or a hotel. The Bible tells believers we are to keep a constant watch for the King. We're to be looking for the King of Kings. We're to be serving the King of Kings day in and day out. Israel should have been pleading for David to get back on the throne. They should have been thanking God for giving them the king, and they should have been encouraging him to be in place. Today, believers, we need to have our eyes on the coming King. We need to be praying for Jesus to come. We need to be asking the Lord to set things right in our world so that he might be able to return. The Bible is very clear. Believers are always to be looking to the eastern sky. In 2 Peter 3, it says, looking for and hastening into the coming of the day of God. Titus 2:13 says, look for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and God and Savior. Most Christians today don't give a thought to church. You know, this is Sunday. How many of our church members got up and never even occurred to them that they should be in church or they should be in Sunday school? 2/3 of all church members, not just ours, all church members, 2/3 of all church members never attend church. So the church is getting weak and the witness of the church is getting weak. And I guarantee you that people that don't think of the church and they don't think of serving the Lord through the church don't put a lot of time looking for Jesus to return. And their lives show it. Believers, we can't afford to live our lives without considering that Jesus is coming. It needs to be in our thoughts. It needs to be in our directions. It needs to be in how we conduct ourselves. Jesus is coming. It's time for us to be seeking the Lord's return, praying for the Lord's return, living our lives like we expect the Lord's return. I guarantee you, when you think Jesus is coming, you live differently. You know, there were times in my growing up days when my dad would be away from the house and, you know, we would be doing stuff, but when we knew dad was coming home, oh, things straightened up because dad was coming home. And when you get into your mind to look for the Lord, you need to learn from the looking. In verse 15, so the king returned and came to Jordan, and Judea came to Gilgal to go to meet the king, to conduct the king over the Jordan. When the king came back, he really put a spotlight on those that had not been faithful to him. The first to rush to meet the king was a guy by the name of Shimei. Now you may remember, he represents those that stood against the king, who stood against what God desired. It was Shimei that had cursed David when David had to leave Jerusalem. It was Shimei that threw rocks at David as he cursed him. Back in 16:5, it says, King David came to Bahurim. Behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera, and cursed still as David came. One of David's men wanted to kill Shimei, but David wouldn't let him. David didn't take vengeance. He took it as a sign that he needed to check out his own life. My friend, you need to look at what's happening in the world, and it's easy to point fingers and talk about who's doing wrong and who's doing bad and how bad they are and they are and they are. And when you see it, when you see the sin out there, you need to look at you. We need to examine our own lives. We need to see if we're being the people that God wants us to be. If we're looking for the coming King, we need to shape our own heart and life up so that when Jesus comes back, we're ready. People who stand against God today will sing a different tune when Jesus comes. David's men wanted to kill Shimei, but David had mercy. David dealt with this man with forgiveness. He didn't hold a grudge. My friend, if you're looking for the coming Savior, you need to deal with other people with forgiveness, and you need to put grudges away. I don't know about you, but I am thankful we have a God that doesn't hold a grudge. Shimei is a warning to those living outside of God's will. Jesus is going to come, and you will be dealt with. Then there was a guy by the name of Mephibosheth. Remember Mephibosheth? He is Jonathan's son that was restored by David, put in a place at David's own table. When David had to flee for some reason, Mephibosheth didn't go with him. David was lied to. There were those that told bad things about Mephibosheth, but they weren't true. Why did Mephibosheth not go with David? Well, it was quite simple. The man was lame. When the time came, he was supposed to have an animal prepared, but the animal wasn't prepared, and physically he could not go. Listen, the enemy will slander faithful believers. And the world out there is just waiting for us to fall so they can point fingers at us at how bad we are. Let me put down a warning. There are plenty of people out there to talk bad about us. We have no business doing it in here. We shouldn't speak against one another. We shouldn't tear down the testimony of another. We should be encouraging. Does that mean everybody's perfect? No, we're Baptists. We're not perfect. Neither are the other people. But we are people that need to be walking toward the Lord. Even when we mess up, we need to confess it and continue to walk toward the Lord. Mephibosheth is willing to give all that he has just to have King David back in his place. If David can just be back there on the throne, then Mephibosheth is going to be happy. Listen, if Jesus was to come back this very minute, is your life where it should be? Are you living the way you should be living? There was another man, Barzilla, and Barzilla was an older man. He had been faithful to the king, and now it's time to come back into Jerusalem. And here is David, and David is saying, Barzilla, you need to come with us. And Barzilla says, no, I don't think I'm going to go. He starts giving excuses. It's time to go back to Jerusalem, but he starts giving the king excuses. His big excuse, I'm too old. Well, I will say that he is old. He's 80 years old. But the king is calling. Folks, there was a day when 80-year-olds were not seen very much in the church, but that is not today. God has blessed us with people that have had longevity, and if you are one of those people, praise God you're in God's house. Praise God you have the physical strength to be here and the ability to be here. And I got news for you. You're not done. You know, they're telling us today that people could have an expectation to topping 100 years. If you are 80, you still got 20 years to go. Don't quit too soon. Now, I don't know how long you will live. I don't know how long I'll live. You know, when I think about people of 80, I don't think about people of 80 as being old. I say, well, boy, I just hope I get there. And no, I'm not already there. But I'm headed in that direction. And so here this man was, and he's saying, I'm just too old. Let me give you a good principle. If you can breathe in and out and know with your mind that you did that, God's not done with you. You still have a value to God's kingdom. You are still part of growing God's church. You are still part of ministering for the Lord. And for those of you of the younger crowd, yeah, younger than 80. Those of you of the younger crowd, you got a lot to learn from those that have gone through this life more than you have. And so, yes, we need our senior saints standing up, doing what's right, pointing people to Jesus, telling people what Jesus has done in their lives, encouraging people to turn to the Lord in prayer, lifting up people as only they can because they have been through things. And the things they've been through, some of you are facing, and you're having your breakdown, and they can tell you how to get through it. But Barzilla just says, oh, I'm just too old. And then he says, well, you know, I'm just not that smart. We're not giving IQ tests. Praise God for that. If you are smart enough, listen, Barzilla was smart enough to choose David. That's all David cared about. And my friend, if you are smart enough to choose Jesus, you have a testimony Jesus will use. Don't pass off serving Jesus on somebody else. Barzilla said, I'm going to give you one of my servants. Chim Ham is going to go with you and said, bless him instead of blessing me. Well, that sounds nice, but God wasn't through with him. Don't pass off serving Jesus when Jesus gives you the chance. Understand that laborers are needed for the harvest. You know, our problem is not that there's nobody out there that's lost that needs to be saved. Our problem is we don't have people that are willing to go to them and tell them how. And that's our job. That's our main job. Don't pass off serving Jesus to somebody else. We need to be willing to follow him. Yes, they needed to follow David back into Jerusalem as David became king and David healed the land. You need to follow the Lord as he leads your life. You need to walk with him and hold him up. You need to elevate Jesus as if he was coming today. Are you serving Jesus today? Is your life as a believer where your life needs to be today? Could you possibly be more in tune with Jesus than you are today? Well, then it's time to make a move. Today is the day to get your life where God wants it to be. Believer, you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You've accepted him as the King of your life. It's time to serve him. And maybe you've allowed other things to get in the way. Well, get them out of the way. Perhaps you need to just come to the altar today and say, Lord, take all of me. Lord, I just help me to follow you. Lord, I'm sorry for where I failed you. And if you've never met Jesus as your Savior, then today is the day to come to know him. For Jesus paid his all for you. Would you stand with me for prayer? Father, we thank you for challenging our lives. We thank you for David, Father, of what you did in his life. We thank you, Father, with your leadership, we can live with the living. We can look to the Lord, and we can learn, Father, from that looking. And we can start walking like we believe Jesus is coming again. Father, I pray as believers we'll recommit ourselves. As believers we'll stand strong for you. As believers, Father, we will hold up Jesus. And Father, for those that have never received Jesus as their Savior, I pray that right now they would be willing to come to you and be saved. Guide our decisions now in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing, would you come?